Are you struggling to believe that there is a purpose for your life? That after all you've been through, seen, or done, that there is a chance you'll ever find peace and wholeness again? Welcome to Love and Be Loved. This podcast explores what matters to us the most. Overcoming adversity, success stories on relationships with God, ourselves, and others. Now here is your host, Lena Cibula.
Hello, guys. I'm so grateful that you're tuning in today. And I have an amazing guest with us today, Amber Love. And it's so cool, honestly. Welcome, Amber Love, to Love and Be Loved podcast.
And thank you.
This is so cool. Honestly, your name is amazing because it's actually two my favorite thing. I don't know if I ever told you that I really actually love Amber and how it's created. And it's since I was a kid, I love this. I don't think like it's a raisin, yes, with the beautiful golden and orange colors and love, of course. I do like this name a lot. I'm so grateful that you have agreed to share your story with us, and I know people will greatly benefit and will be encouraged by our discussion today. But tell us a little bit more about that name of yours.
Yeah, so great way to start a conversation. So I actually changed my last name legally last January. I think it was official in February. But, you know, I changed it to Love because I realized that I had spent my entire life trying to become who people needed me to be to receive love. I was adopted, so you know, I've gone by many names. I was born Amber Casto, adopted a Jones, married a Grubbs, divorced, went back to Jones, and then got married again, was Davies. And I realized that in all of those relationships, I had just strived so hard to be the perfect, what they needed. And it really went in through all out my life. So when I got this, my last divorce, so I've been married twice, I really was walking with God. That's when everything had, you know, I had actually committed my life to walking with him. And my mentor called, and I had been thinking about taking her name because she had been with me for 20 years. And I was like, you know, I just don't want to carry this name anymore. There's so many things attached to it that I didn't want to be. And I didn't want to go back to, you know, my adopted family's name. And she called and said, I just met this lady and her name was such and such Love. And I just thought, wow, I wish Amber could have a name like that. And it just registered in my head. I said, if I'm going to take anybody's name, I need to take my father's name. He has pursued me with love. He has chased me down my entire life and never gave up on me. So I went that day to the courthouse and just submitted everything, did all the work. And about 2 weeks later, they said, here's your new name. And so I tell people, I said, especially survivors when I meet them, you know, changing my name doesn't change the things that have happened in my life. It doesn't make me a different person. But what it does is it reminds me who I belong to and the sacrifices that they made on behalf of loving me. And so that's where I rock with Amber Love. So
that's awesome. Such a good story. But I just want to clarify that when you say father, you're talking about God.
I'm talking about God. Yes. Yes. My father's name. So the only person that I'm striving to please at this point in my life is him. And even that, I'm not doing it to obtain his love because it's freely given. But if I'm going to strive for anybody, it's going to be him. It's going to be to honor him. And that's what my testimony is for. You know, I did mention that I was adopted and adopted by a wonderful family with its own troubles of its own. And one of the things that really changed, I guess, my outlook in life is being told that if I didn't call them mom and dad, that they would have to send me back to an orphanage. So I'd already experienced rejection through the adoption. I didn't understand why my mom wasn't there. And I forgot to mention this, that I am a third generation sex trafficking survivor. My birth mother was trafficked by her mom. at the age of 13 or 14 to men in a warehouse, and her mother was being trafficked. And so even though this adoption had happened and I had been removed from it, it still found me along the way. And I have had to go through hell to break this generational curse, to make a life for my own child to not have to experience those things. And it has been so worth it. I'm grateful. It sounds wild to say, but I'm grateful for the pain that I have been through because it brought me to an understanding, to knowing who God is, to knowing who Jesus is. I walked with him most of my life, but I didn't know him. I called myself a Christian. I went to church. I was there 5 days a week. And I still went through everything that I went through. And I even had different moments where he really showed up, and I'm like, wow. And I can remember those moments. But as soon as life started getting better, I was like, okay, I got it. And I would just perpetuate this cycle until I came to the end of myself. And that's where he really met me, where he radically showed up in my life, the things that I can never deny. And that has really encouraged me on this journey that I'm on now.
That is so awesome that you're here and awesome that you're talking like that. Actually, when we met and I heard your story and I saw you, I'm like, oh my goodness, I want you to come on my podcast and talk about yourself and share your story because honestly, it's so beautiful what you're saying. Not about the past, like, and trauma, but of overcoming and hope. And that's what I want people to see because that's my mission. I want people to understand that there's, first of all, God's hand is not too short. He's like always there. He will never leave you, never forsake you, no, never give up on you. No matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, he's still pursuing you to the end of days of yours because he gonna be living forever. But the fact is that sometimes that shame, guilt, and condemnation stopping us to seeking or open up the heart to God because we're treating each other as like from people point of view and thinking like, wow, you don't deserve grace. Who do you think you are? You're trafficked, you are have no parents, you have this or something like all of that stuff. And or we think that about we think about ourselves the same way, you know, who will love me if they threaten me to give me back every time that I'm not good enough for them? So how is God or anybody else gonna
He's the only one. He's the only one who is capable of loving us in our mess, loving us through our pain, restoring us, renewing us. And one of the things I remember as I was surviving, and people would say things like, God will use all things for the good of those who love him. And I'm like, how about he just not let this happen? How about that? And then also what the one that you just said, that he will never leave nor forsake us. Even when we don't feel like he is there, when we don't feel like he is working, he is always working for our good. And we do have to sometimes walk through things on life. It tells us like we are going to face trials and tribulations. And, trafficking survivors and children that are trafficked, and we think, how can this be happening? It is the result of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of sin. That is what we are dealing with. We are dealing with the fruit of that. And I realized that that from a very young age, God had shown me that, and I didn't realize it at the time, I guess I should say. I want to tell a story that'll bring me to how he restored me. In about third grade, I learned about Harriet Tubman, and I grew up in a very tiny little country town. And Harriet Tubman was a slave that ultimately led hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of slaves to freedom. So I'm not sure if you know about her. So I read about her, and I just became fascinated, and I was obsessed to the point I wrote all my reports on her and all of that. And the teachers were like, "You find somebody else to write about." And I'm like, "Who else is there?" And I found out there's some other amazing people. And so in eighth grade, I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And I was just broken. I could not believe such horrible things could happen at the hands of man. And I came out of that museum just crying and expecting everybody to be the same. And people were just kind of laughing and getting on the bus and, doing whatever. And I called my parents and I said, "Mom, if I were born during the Holocaust, I would have hid the Jews." And she said, "I know, baby girl." And I said, "Mom, if I were born during the slavery times, I would have helped free the slaves. I would have been part of the Underground Railroad. I would have brought resources. I would have been on the winning side." And she said, "I know, baby girl, I know." And then I said, "I want to be Harriet Tubman for my generation." And true to someone who's not really experienced the world, I said, "But all the bad things have already happened." I did not understand, I thought, "Oh, this is history. Like, these are the bad things, but now everything's good." And not understanding that I was really prophesying into what my life would become. And in order to be Harriet Tubman for my generation, I would have to go through slavery. I would have to go through very unjust things. I would have to fight for my freedom. I would have to live in my freedom for a time where, for 2 years, I listened to scriptures and God really restored my mind, renewed my spirit, and brought me to a place where all of a sudden I found forgiveness for people who exploited me, for people who abused me. And that was nothing that I could have done on my own, but it was definitely, drawing closer to God and allowing Him to make all things new again. And so she also went through those things and went through that time of freedom. And then she said, "It's not enough to have freedom on my own. I have to go and back and get the others and set other people free." And that's kind of at the place that I'm at right now, where it's like, okay, it's not enough to have freedom on my own. It's time to let go back and let other people know. So that's the Harriet Tubman story. And when I talk about slavery, there was a time for about 9 months that I was exploited during homelessness when I was 18, and people taking advantage of my naivety, my not knowing how to live. I had lived in a very protected, sheltered environment and then found myself homeless. And after experiencing some sexual abuse as a child, like, things just kind of manifested this way. So, life, I know we have a short time today, but so life kind of lifed. And I went through two marriages. I struggled with faithfulness. Whenever I experienced abandonment, I would seek out relationships to comfort me, and not the right relationships. Looking back, I'm like, wow, if I had really pursued the Lord the way that I do now, I probably could have avoided these things. But God using all things for good, there are other people who are experiencing that, and I can now speak into that space and show what freedom looks like. It's definitely not just the removal from the situation. It is Christ in me that has brought freedom. And so later on, so I went through a divorce in 2020. And that was devastating. It had happened after, I'm sorry, I've got to back up. To whoever's listening, it is never easy to share your story as many times as I share it. It just, kind of goes all over the place. So I'm going to talk about the catalyst first, the point of desperation and just coming to the end of myself. I was married to someone in the Navy. He was deployed, and I had been drinking excessively and had a designated driver home. And that person was sober and took advantage of my intoxication and actually continued to feed me alcohol, knowing that I had already had enough to drink and didn't need it. So I was sexually assaulted in my home, and took a few days. I didn't want to tell anybody. I really thought that I had cheated. I had a lot of guilt and shame. I was like, wow, I could have said no one more time. I could have done, all those types of things, until ultimately I had said yes, because I felt like if I don't say yes, that I'm gonna be raped. It's gonna be taken from me anyways, and I'd rather consent. And we know that that is not consent now. So I told my husband, and upon speaking it out, I just absolutely lost my sanity. I struggled with, wanting to drop a blow dryer in the bathtub, and My son was in the other room and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to want to keep going. I was like, I just cannot continue living my life with a sign that says, assault me. And so I went to a psych ward. I first drove myself to the hospital. I had some friends come and take care of my son. Praise God. Got to the hospital. They said, you're just a dependent. And there's no room. And now, like at the time, I was like, what are you talking about? My husband is deployed. I am alone with a child. What do you mean I'm just a dependent? But there's just so much needs for suicide prevention already filled by active duty members. So ultimately, they sent me to a place in Washington, D.C. I was there for about 10 days and experienced a lot of release of trauma in very physical ways. And when I decided I had to leave, it was time to come back home. We had a plan. I came back home. And then I decided one day, I'm going to go to this church that I've heard about, and I'm going to go and denounce Jesus Christ because I cannot believe in a God any longer that would allow this to continue to happen all throughout my life, from before adoption to now. Things have been happening. And so I went to this church to cause a scene and to say, I profess you publicly, I will denounce you publicly, and I'm going to upset some people. That was my pain. That was my pain just fully manifested. So I get in there, I sit down, and I say, all right, God, you have 45 minutes or else, giving him a timeline. But that
Oh,
was really
goodness.
desperation. If you've ever been there, you know that those places where like you're putting a timeline on God, you're desperate. You're pressing through the crowd. You're like, please show up and be a miracle worker in my life because I cannot do this anymore. And he did. He showed up and the service was on Ezekiel and the dry bones and how God brought a dead army to life and defeated the enemy. And prophetically, that is what he is doing with survivors all over this world.
That's awesome.
He is bringing life to their dry bones. He is restoring them. He is renewing them. And we are the ones that are going to be able to say, God is, Jesus is the name above all names. He is the one who can set captives free. He is the one who already has victory. And that is the boldness that we can live with because we encounter
Awesome.
him in such a powerful way.
That's
So
awesome.
from there, you would think, oh, everything would be wonderful. Nope, lost my marriage. All this junk had to come out. All these secrets could not live in the same space as the Holy Spirit in my life. And that was terrifying, but I got to witness Jesus be in my mess. I got to witness him walk me through those times, even in the pain, even in the struggle, the Holy Spirit show up and speak. I began to have dreams and visions, and then hope started being renewed, and I had a desire for life. And the even in all of that, even in all of his powerfulness of showing up and loving me, I still, when COVID-19 happened, I was, was in separation. I couldn't see my son for 8 weeks because we were trying to keep, everybody was freaking out, so if you went out into the world, you couldn't see your kids. And so he was at his father's for about 8 weeks, and I was working with survivors. And could not manage that, like couldn't go to church, didn't have a connection, didn't know how to live differently in a world as a new believer, or someone who really encountered the Lord. And found myself surviving on Tinder once again, using sexual relationships to cope. And it became so unmanageable. I remember knowing that things were different because my spirit was screaming no. I did not want to engage in this behavior anymore, but I couldn't say no. I physically, my mouth was saying yes, as I'm like, why are you saying yes? And it would just happen over and over and over. And that's what I mean by slavery, is when I said Satan had a grip on me. He's like, okay, you think that you found Jesus, like, and he is Lord of your life, but I still have this stronghold over you, and I'm going to make it hard for you to crawl out of the pit of hell. And it was, but God is faithful. So how does he show up in those places? It came to a point where I lost my job because I couldn't even manage a job. And I went to I went to the world, and the world said, "Girl, just be safe." And I said, I don't have the ability to not make these catastrophic decisions and keep myself safe. So the world couldn't help me. Then I went to an addiction resource and I said, "Can you guys help me? I think I have an addiction because I can't stop." And they said, "Women can't have sexual addictions," and rejected my application. And so I'm like, "Who can I go to?" So I went to some Christians that I knew. And unfortunately, their response was, "God understands you have needs, girl. You'll be fine." And I knew at that moment, I didn't know what I know now about it, but I knew at that moment, that's probably not true. Pretty sure he's still holy. He does have a standard for us to keep us safe. But I decided not to look it up because I didn't want to be responsible. And I was not ready to fully commit to the change that it would require to be free. That did come later. But those were my encounters. And now I understand, I'm like, wow, we really need to understand that he is holy, that he will be with us in our mess. And, but also, I think I forgot to, because we're talking about the church. And there's that moment where I understood that the church is broken, the body of believers is broken, and needs healing in this area. But there was an encounter when, after I had gone to that service, I actually went back to a Bible study the next day because someone had told me, stopped me before I left and was like, "You have to come." And it
That's
was this
funny
whole.
because I want you to tell that story. I'm
Yeah,
thinking like,
I
oh,
was like,
it's gonna fit. Maybe she's gonna forget. So I can ask her to tell that story because honestly, we hear about the church's not so great encounters or advices. And honestly, guys, church, it's people. We're all sinful. We don't know. We still figure out same as other people, except that we know Christ, we know hope, and we know about eternity, and we know and be aware about the sin and enemy and stuff like that. But that advice would come from the person, and and this story that Amber gonna share, that's, I believe, how God using other people to bring people to God, because no matter what advice you're getting, you always have to use discernment and look into the Bible, how it fits with God. But this is pretty cool because it's the story how God used the church people to meet you in the darkest place. And that story really impacted me. So I want you to share that.
Oh, it's just because my brain's like trying to like connect all these things. But so thank you for the reminder, because it is so important to know that if you've been hurt by church people, like that's going to happen. We are people who are, the church is the place to go to lay down your sins, not to hide it. So to think that you're not going to meet people who are wounded and may unintentionally or intentionally wound you, is kind of naive. Because so we have to go to church to find Jesus. To see where he is, not to judge other people. So, say that to say that after the service was over and
Hold
Ezekiel.
on 1 second. We have to make sure that they put that two and two together. It was that day when you came to denounce Christ.
Yes,
Okay.
yes. The day that I came to denounce Christ, the service was over, and I said, I was like, "Jesus, my bones are dry. I don't have anything to give. I have nothing to give you for what you're offering me." And the Holy Spirit said, "Give me your nothing." And yeah, give me your nothing. He's the only one who can make zero times zero equal a million, or equal life, in general. And that came later. I watched that happen later. But so I'm leaving the service, and this couple stops me. And it's a wife and a husband, and he's, being like, "Hey, you're new here. You should totally come to my wife's Bible study." And she's looking like, "What is happening right now?" And later I found out, like, that's not his personality.
It's too funny. Like, it's make me cry last time, and now thinking about it. And
Because now
especially
you
when
know
you
what's
come
for
like 0-0 McMillian, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so good. You're so
Yes,
good, so
yes.
good, so good. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's okay, it's okay. So he keeps being very persistent, and I'm in a mindset of like, let me get out of this place. Like that was enough for me to handle. I mean, And he's like, come to my wife's Bible study. It's tomorrow and this and that. I'm like, hey man, like if I promise to go to your wife's Bible study, can I leave? Can I go get lunch? And he was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, oh my gosh, you don't have to. You can come, but don't, like it's whatever. And so I leave, I get in my car and I decide to turn it to to K-Love radio station, which I hadn't listened to in forever. And Lauren Daigle's song Dry Bones had been out for whatever reason, but it came on and it's like, come alive, dry bones. We call out to dry bones, come alive. And I was just like bawling in my car, just sobbing, going back to my broken life.
I
And
just want to
so
pause you for a second, Amber, because just in case you guys don't know anything about God or maybe know something, when you hear the same message, and especially in the same time, in the same day, on the same period of time, that's how I believe God speaks to us, because he kind of like focus, zoom in, and keep repeating, and that's how he show himself as well. So sorry, go ahead.
no need to apologize. Great, great explanation. So I went home, and the next day was the day for Bible study. And so I show up to this Bible study. I was very judgmental. So don't come for me right now. But I went in there and I was like, all these women and their 2.5 children and their tea party dresses and their perfect freaking lives. I'm going to tell them what I've been through. They're going to abandon me or reject me or not know what to do with this or judge me. And that's my reason to denounce God. I didn't do it yesterday, but I'm probably going to do it today. And so I interrupted this service with no introduction and began to spew all of my pain onto these women. And at some point, I dissociated because I remember starting the conversation, but I don't remember anything that happened until I started coming back. So with dissociations, you're not present. So you're still moving, but you're not there. And I remember getting my eyesight back and looking at the table and realizing that everybody was gone. And there was a moment where I was like, oh my God, they left me. And I was hurt. Oh, it hurt so bad. And then I started getting my hearing back. And I hear all this noise behind me, and I turn around, and there's just women with their hands laid on me, outstretching, just multiple women praying in the spirit, just declare. I didn't know that's what it was at the time. I just like these people are praying, and all of them at the same time, and they were going to war for my soul, and could not. I had never in my life experienced anything like that, and I just stood there with my mouth open, being like, what is going on? And from that point, these women, in the uncomfortableness, in the grossness and ugliness of all that I had needed God to heal me from, they held my hand as I crawled out of Sheol. And Sheol is mentioned in the Bible multiple times by David in the Psalms, and it means the place of the dead. So I do believe I was in hell. I was in the place of the dead where the enemy is holding the people he thinks he's won. And I know now, just to bring some encouragement to that, that Jesus went down and he got the key. So he, even the place of Sheol, the place of the dead, is not so far that God cannot reach down and come down there with you and bring you out. He is not afraid of our sin. He is not afraid of our ugliness. He's not afraid of our pain and the mess that we create from it. He can be there and he will be there if we look to him. And that really began that journey of walking with the Lord. I did struggle in another season, like I mentioned, being sexually and still in sexually enslaved and being, immoral. And if you're ready, I can go in, or if you have another question, that's fine. But
1 moment, excuse me, just give me a
okay,
second.
keep it going. Okay, so I. The day that I found freedom, that's what I want to talk about. I want to make sure that that comes in there because I am almost 2 years celibate. And that may not sound like a lot to people, but 30 something years of sexual trauma, and I'm 2 years celibate.
I said that huge, but I was on mute because I have to like clear
Although,
my nose and eyes, because last time it made me cry, and this time it made me cry. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do with your emotions right now. But I literally, because I'm in trauma and drug abuse and trafficking survivor, and I know how much church and love of God through loving through people does, and how amazing this experience that God, like, I'm gonna love on you, I'm gonna show you belong, I'm gonna show you that you are significant and valuable, and that your story, like, still so like you're still my daughter of the king, and they're not gonna abandon you when you find the right people. And guys, honestly, if you ever been hurt by the church, there's another church for you. If you know Christ, go just pray and submit to his leading. And you know what? You still have to do action, because sometimes we're thinking, oh, I'll pray and I'll sit and God bring me church. No, you have to go, you have to follow, you have to do your part and find it, and trying by the grace of God, I end up in both cities, great churches, amazing people, great Jesus Foundation, great support. But you will know that you're in the right place when you're in a spot,
When
when
you
the
don't,
Spirit
and when
come.
you don't know how to discern that because you're still very wounded, I would say go to church with the idea that you are pressing through a crowd to meet Jesus. Don't worry about the relationships there. You don't have to be best friends with people. Press through for Jesus. Allow him to heal you, and then you're going to watch as you are able to discern who is a good person to allow into your life, to speak into your life, to come into community with. But go for Jesus and watch what he does. Like, that's what I would
Actually, a
say.
really good advice, because when I was moving from another city, and my husband said, wow, this is going to be the hardest part for you to leave this church. But God already spoke to me. He said, whatever my message is preached, you're home. So I'm like, that's it. I will find. And that's how. But we went few places that we couldn't make it, and then we end up invited to this church, and it was home. But the coolest part that right now, just why I was like so overwhelmed, and you guys, honestly, I'm just so grateful to God that He loves us in our darkest moment. And that's so beautiful. And I experienced that. And I hope and pray every one of you experience. And when you said, oh, I'm just 2 years and maybe it's not a big deal, man, like
It's a
I'm
big
drunk.
deal.
And
It's a big
it's a,
deal to me.
yes, exactly. But for people who don't know, they think like, oh, just 2 years forever. But it's a huge amount of time, because it have to be surrendered day by day, moment by moment, like hour by hour, like everything have to be that hard way through. So it's a big.
Moment by moment is so important, because I'm 20 years clean from meth this year, but it was moment by moment, right? And I still had, oh, this wild ride. But the moment that matters most to me was when I had decided I did not want to do this anymore. So the cycle that I was in was I had to go out and have a sexual encounter with somebody because it would feed something, it would bring endorphins, or it would do something, and then I would spiral into depression for 3 days until I
And
did.
probably like to make you feel loved and belonged,
Yeah, and
and
also
then
it's chemical, right? It releases something. And if I, you know, if that's how you're used to getting, that's what addiction is. That's why you use drugs. That's why you drink alcohol, or, you know, people who are addicted. So there was a day, and I was like,
One
I just
moment, can I pause you, because I think I interrupt you, and it was very important thing that you said. But after that happened, 3 days, you go spiral into depression because of guilt, shame, condemnation. Can you speak into that a little bit more?
I mean, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. I could not really go to work, or at least if I showed up to work, I was very much kind of like a zombie, and faking it until I make it. I hope that dog is not eating something. I mean, that's just what it was. It was just a deep depression. And then I knew, like, when I couldn't handle it anymore, the weight of it, that the only other way was to go and do it again, because I didn't have
That's the
that
cycle.
built a pattern. Like when you go to the gym and you flex a muscle until it gets strong, that was the muscle that I had flexed to survive my entire life. And then now I'm trying to like follow Jesus and not do those things. But when I face troubles, I didn't know how to do it this way. I'm really sorry. I don't need this doc
Go ahead, go ahead. So while she's looking for the dog, actually, I want to add that
eating my sunglasses.
oh, that's not good. Add to that because you guys can hear it. And that was part of my story when I was praying from the brothel in Israel, in Jerusalem, for God's help, and he answered me, and I thought, that's it, I'm gonna be with you. But then I come back to my life and there was nobody to support me through it. So I back into my life. So it was like back and forward until I give my life to Christ and actually start learning about him, and he led me. And that's where it's happened. So if you are a survivor, or you're still struggling, or you know God and go back and all this back and forward, just honor your path. You don't have to be anything and anybody. This is between you and God, and he gonna love you no matter how many times you relapse, because he already see that your desire to come out so strong, so he will lead you over and over and over again until you're gonna be stable, almost like a baby, you know, like the baby falling all the time. What we like punish the baby when the baby start from crawling to walk? No, we lift it up, we're encouraging, and we wait patiently, allow the baby to walk. So I think that's how our walk with Christ, and that's why actually they call us baby Christians when we become a Christian. So I just
Yeah.
wanna say
And know
that.
that that strength that, when you think, how to God, how is he in my situation? The fact that you're alive is the fact that he kept you. Like
Yeah.
he, like he can't intervene and just do all this stuff because everything is set in motion. But when you find that strength to continue on, that is not our strength. That is the strength of hope for something of the future that has good things for you. So you continue, like you said, continue on, honor your path. That is such a beautiful, beautiful phrase. I've never heard it said that way. But your path is going to be what it's going to be. And, give yourself that grace. You're doing this all for the first time. None of us have done any of this for the first, before. So honor your path. So thank you for giving me a little break, to rescue
Okay,
my
don't worry.
So there was that depression and that was that cycle that we had mentioned. The day I decided I really wanted to break that cycle, I had gone and gotten my hair done, and that usually was, one of my triggers. My hair looked good. If I didn't have my son that week, it was definitely a go out day. And so I came home, I took off my makeup, and I was like, I'm not going out. I'm not going to do this today. And I looked in the mirror. I'm like, girl, you're still cute though. Like you could still go out. Trying to make myself laugh. And so I went and I put on sweatpants and a baggy t-shirt and tried to just set an environment that I was staying in for myself. I turned on a TV and I grabbed a Bible and I was holding it because I just did not know that I could not go out. I didn't know if I could sit here all night. And I couldn't go to bed, because I had to stay focused on what I was doing. So from 9 o'clock till about till after 2:30, I actually just held this Bible and rocked. I rocked, and I watched the clock and I watched the time, and I sat there, and it hurt so bad to deny what my body was telling me. All I had to do was go out and do this and I would feel better. And that's the flesh, right? And I was trying to serve the spirit. I was trying to flex that muscle. And so there was that pull. When we talk about fighting our flesh, it feels that way. It'll feel when you're trying to come out of trauma and become something new, it will feel like an actual struggle and it'll feel like you're doing the wrong thing. But I knew what I was doing was gonna had to happen, or I was going to go down just to I would never get out. So I sat there and I rocked and I rocked and I rocked moment to moment to moment. That was a long day. And at 1:55, I remember a voice came to me, and it was not God's, and it was not the Holy Spirit, and it said, you can still go out. at 1:55, and I knew it. I knew at 1:55 I could go out to the bar and I could be like, you done, right? And so that right there, that was like being tested in my weakness. I was tired. I was tired of the struggle that I was doing for hours and hours. And I just said no. And I stayed and I cleaned this Bible and I just stayed and I stayed. And I remember I cried a little bit, like just not getting up. And at 2:30, I felt this release. And I was like, okay, I can go to bed. I slept the next day. Like, that was a battle. That was some fighting that I had done the night before. But I remember from that point, it got easier and easier to say no. And to not, I was like, I did it once. I do not want to have to go through that again. And so I started saying no. I started not going to the places that would enhance that desire or would give me those opportunities. And I really just had to stay away from them. And now I realize I'm not missing anything.
That's awesome.
So I, from that point, I started dancing with flags. I started worshiping God when it didn't make sense, when my life still felt like it was in shambles. But I'm like, I have to believe that you were still good, that you were still holy, so you were still faithful, you were still true to your word, and I'm going to worship you because of that. My life doesn't reflect this, but I'm going to believe in you, and I promise you that is where my chains fully came off. And now I walk knowing that even now, it's Christ in me
Amen.
that allows me to continue to walk in this path. So.
Absolutely. And I think that's such a beautiful story because there's I don't know, so much pain and grief and struggling and suffering that we're going through. But I do believe you cannot buy joy, peace, and wholeness and love. Only Jesus can fill us up. And honestly, like some people can say that they can find happiness somewhere else. And I've been there, done that. I gave my life to Christ when I was 31. I was chasing everything from everyone to get that. And I kid you not, I've been Christian for over 10 years. No drugs, no any relationships, no anything give me that peace and joy and purpose and just. And like honestly, hearing your story and I hope you guys see this beautiful woman, like her joy, her radiant faith, and just get
There's more.
the Jesus, you know, like and see that it's possible to have and love and wholeness again, but only with God, you know. And we sometimes listen different lies, you know, that you can obtain this somewhere else, but it's all not true. But honestly, Amber, I want to get to it before you go. I'm very interested in that because we start the conversation about helping others as well. And would you please tell us more about your work and what you're doing with the Safe House project?
So, we talked about Harriet Tubman and that I had said, that I wanted to be Harriet Tubman for my generation. So, this is what's happening, 30, 20, whatever years later. Terrible with math. I work for Safe House Project, which is a national nonprofit organization that supports survivors of sex trafficking, children and adults. We don't have one safe house, but we have a network of safe houses, if you will, just like the Underground Railroad. Only what we do is we go and we certify these safe houses to make sure that they're giving best practices and the quality of care. And if they don't meet us the grade that we have created, which is the national standard, we support them. We give them grants. We offer mentorship because we want them to be successful, and also provide a space for survivors that does not end in them re-entering the life. We don't want that to happen. So we have that. We do trainings for law enforcement. We have some spaces in law, making, and that is not my skill set, but we're really working on laws to benefit survivors and harsher penalties for traffickers and buyers. And then when I came into this picture was they opened up a new initiative to mobilize the faith community to join the fight, because this is an impossible fight if we don't add God into it. It is a God possible win, but we have to ignite the faith community. So we have created an 8-week video Bible study called God's Heart to Eradicate Trafficking. The target audience would be initially starting with leadership of churches so that we can really take them through some self-reflection. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, to think that just because we're in leadership, we're just humans who are sinful, have sinful natures that have said yes to God. You know, there could be areas in our lives that we need to turn from so that he can hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal the land. And so that's what this is for, is to help the church, one, do that, acknowledge their own sexual sin that is there, or could be there, and then to lead them into discovering where is the Lord calling us to join in this fight? How is that? And then once the church figures that out, we can come along and say, how can we support God's vision for you? And we provide trainings. I do trainings for the churches. We'll do like Freedom Sundays, testimony nights, events, to really just mobilize. Like, it's a heavy topic. It is really hard to hear. And so we want to come at this sensitively, but we also need to understand that many people are unidentified in the church. They don't know that they've been trafficked by family. They don't know that there's a term for it. Or they, you know, they don't know that they can talk to the church about it. So education is really important. And that's what that is. So HAWSA has a little workbook that goes along that I myself helped with a team of people create from Safe House Project. And our goal is to see the eradication of trafficking by 2030. We have to believe that there is an end to a war. And it definitely requires the faith community to rise up. So I hope to have people call me from this to just start conversations, and see where we can support the church.
Yeah, definitely. This would be my next question. What can we do to help, and how they can connect with you to know more about your work?
So there's many ways that people can help, but I really want to focus on the calling that God has for me is that we need to help people who are sexually wounded in the church. So I would say that the next step, if you're interested in knowing more about this, you can contact me at amber@safehouseproject.org. You can shoot me at, actually just, yeah, shoot me an email. I almost gave out my work cell phone. You know, if, when I respond, you'll have it, but start with that. And we can have a conversation about what is on your heart. What needs you may have. If you're a survivor and listening to this, or any of this kind of resonated and you're like, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, that happened to me too, you can reach out to me for that. I can see what kind of resources are available. When I was walking out my life, there were no programs. There was barely a term for human trafficking, for sex trafficking, even though it's been happening since the found, like, it's in the Bible. Children were being trafficked, you know? And so reach out for that. I can connect you to services there. There are volunteer opportunities, depending on where you're located. But, you know, if you want to be connected, we'll see what we can do to get you connected. But God's Heart to Eradicate Trafficking is free. If you shoot me an email when I respond, I'll always give you the link and you can watch the videos, see what you think about it and bring it to your church. That's honestly my call is like, hey, if you're listening to this, check out our videos for God's Heart to Eradicate Trafficking and present it to your church and reach out to me and let's just have a conversation.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Actually, when you said when you come out, there was no resources, it's funny because that's what happened to me. I was 20 years, was quiet about it because nobody was talking about it. But when I come out some 5 years ago, there was like Me Too movement and so many things and stuff went online and start speaking. I'm like, whoa. And I heard one of my favorite pastor was talking about this, like from the pulpit. I'm like, okay, so if she can do it, I can do it. And that's how we bring more awareness and we can get involved. And I hope you guys heard all this information, and I'm gonna post everything in the show notes as well. And before I let you go, Amber, I would like to ask you my signature question. What does love and to be loved means to you?
You didn't prepare me for that. Love and beloved. What's coming to my mind right now is that is the love of Christ. That's the only thing I compare it to. And be loved is the action that he took to sacrifice himself and to suffer and to feel everything that we felt when he did not have to. He was fully God, all powerful. He didn't have to lay any of that down, any of that down. And when I think of the term beloved, I think of the compassion that Jesus sees me or God sees to me, that I am his beloved, that there's nothing he wouldn't do to bring me closer to him, to restore me, to renew me, and to be in a covenant with me. And a covenant cannot be broken. Like the consequences of a broken covenant, I can't imagine. It's not going to happen with the Lord. And so that's what I would say, like love and beloved.
That's awesome. Is there any final thoughts, Amber?
Oh, I guess I could share a scripture that's been on my heart this week just to maybe encourage anyone. And when paralyzed, when I don't know what my next step is, what I'm supposed to do, and maybe someone who's listening is like hearing this information and it's, seems like such a big task to take on a journey to freedom. 1 Samuel 12:16 says, "Now therefore stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes." Sometimes it's not an action that we're going to take. It's to stand still, allow his love to come into you. Allow, receive it. It's a gift. And sometimes it's hard to receive something so big when we don't believe we deserve it. So receive it even if you don't believe it. Like say, "I don't believe that I deserve this, but I'm going to take it. Here's my nothing. Turn it into something." And he will.
Absolutely. And actually come to my mind that staying still, it's an action too, because we live in a busy world. Sometimes we can get busy and miss that part when God's saying stay still. And why I'm saying that, because sometimes that me too, when he called me to stay, it's actually hard to do nothing and just embrace that. But I found that's the best moments when I'm not in a hurry and just present, just be present. And thank you so much, Amber, for being our guest today. And honestly, you provided so much insight, and we really, really appreciate your story. And our special guest is Amber Love. And Amber is third generation survivor of sex trafficking. She lived a hard life that led her to church, prepared to denounce her faith in God, who would allow such terrible things happen to her. And instead, he met her in her mess and has walked with her through the pain into the victory and freedom in him. And Amber now works for Safe House Project and National Anti-Trafficking Organization, charging the Faith Initiative to mobilize the faith community to join the fight against trafficking. And definitely, honestly, I'm gonna partner up with you. I see us working in the future and for the church, and definitely create some events, because like our stories are very similar, and all for the glory of God. I want people see that no matter what's going on, like what's trauma, what you've done in the past, you're still gonna be loved, and you're significant, and your life is valuable, and God gonna take that mess, create the message, and make it for your purpose in life. Because honestly, now we can say, "I understand," to another survivor, and that's I think why he allowed the bad things happen, because there's purpose and path that he's creating through that pain. And And I heard you say that you're grateful for this life. I'm grateful for this life. And if you guys still in the darkness, it sometimes it's hard to understand. But when you're gonna be on another side, you will see. But please call on to God to help you to get through this difficult times. And again, don't hesitate to reach out to Amber. And I will post link to everything that was mentioned in this episode to my show notes. So you stay tuned to another episode of Love and Beloved. And thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate you guys. You can share this message if you hear something stirring in your heart and you're thinking, oh, I know the person who needs to hear that. Please, please follow up on that and send this message to someone. Maybe you save someone's life. Maybe you give someone the great resources that Amber provides, even like to share the story. I really appreciate that. And thank you so much, Amber. I'm so grateful for you and your time.
Thank you so much for having me here. It was such a treasure to spend some time with you. You have a beautiful story as well.
That's awesome. I'm so grateful for you. And honestly, guys, have a wonderful day. And remember, you are never alone. You are loved. You are God's treasure, precious and priceless to Him.
Thank you for listening to Love and Beloved. If you have any questions about what you heard today, visit lovedandbeloved.com. It's love and the letter B with no E, loved.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and share the show. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you'd like to connect, we would love to hear from you. So send a quick note to lenasabula@gmail.com. Stay healthy, stay safe, love and beloved.